Today's podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Thunderstorm Air Purifier. Allergy season is here, and that means one thing. You need the Thunderstorm. Save on their lowest price with code word Howie at EdenPure.com.
She's the Boston Herald's wittiest wordsmith, the last woman standing at the Whiskey Priest. Once a very legitimate magazine that we definitely didn't make up named her the Michael Jordan of radio. Wait, don't you think we're laying it on a little thick here, Grace?
Just stick to the script.
Oh, okay. Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
And it's going to take some time. And there may be some hiccups like I just had along the way here.
Did you hear them laughing? They are the most supportive press corps I've ever seen. I wish they could follow me around and laugh at all my jokes like that. Ha, 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 ha. Good one, Joe. Here is an update on the Governor Whitmer story. A lot of these governors are finally having to answer for their poor mismanagement of the COVID crisis. Michigan Senate panel votes to subpoena nursing home documents. This sounds very, very similar to the LoveGov. And actually, speaking of that, he won an Edward M. Kennedy Institute Award. She won a Kennedy Profiles in Courage Award. I want Governor Whitmer to know that they let Cuomo keep his award even after it came out that he had done a horrible job in New York. So you don't have to give it back. That's the silver lining of the situation. All right, now, I'm very excited about my next guest. You guys are very familiar with David Harsanyi and all of his work at the National Review. David, thank you very much for joining me.
Always a pleasure. Thank you.
So your latest piece, you say Biden is off to a disastrous start. I'm not going to argue with you about that. I tend to agree. But I like the way you set up this piece because you've done something which I've heard a lot from people, and you kind of put it in a way that everyone can hear their own voices. You say these are all unforced errors, and there are certain things that a president that's within your sphere of duties as a president, and there are certain things that are not. And Biden seems to be going out of his way to get involved in things that he does not need to be a part of. And then when there's situations where he should be presidential, he steps away from it. So let's back up and go through some of these. First, let's start with the economic recovery. You point out that this should be a slam dunk for Joe Biden. Why is it not going his way?
Well, I mean, this economic downturn had nothing to do with underlying, you know, economic or reasons or unknown economic reasons that sort of drove it down. It was a man-made recession done because of lockdowns. Now, we can set aside the argument as to whether we needed those lockdowns or not, but that's simply the case. So the recovery after the pandemic should be really strong. I mean, it should be a V-shaped recovery. But when Democrats, or modern Democrats, see something like that, they see what they see is opportunity. And they, instead of allowing the American people just to go back to work and to recover, have decided that they wanted to pass trillion-dollar bills and all kinds of, you know, generous unemployment insurance that undermines productive work. And then they're surprised that they dampen the recovery. And I think that that's what's happened. And he still wants to pass, you know, now we have inflation fears and so on, and terrible job numbers. I mean, that last report was one of the worst I've seen, you know, in a recovery, certainly. So all those things, I think, undermine something that should be a slam dunk for him. But, you know, if you just let the economy recover without doing stuff, then you can't pretend that you're actually the person who authored it. And I think that that's one of the reasons he's such a busybody when it comes to that.
Yeah, and I love how you comment on the media. They're always surprised when a Democrat's in office and these numbers, they're unexpectedly bad numbers. But my favorite line was when you said, when the economy bounces back, Democrats will credit spending. When stimulus plans underachieve, Democrats blame it on a lack of spending. It's convenient. And that's exactly what he did. He went out and said, this is why we need the infrastructure bill. And now what we're seeing with the pipeline is one of his experts came out and said, this is why we need, you know, the Green New Deal and renewable energy. And it's like every mistake they make seems to work in their favor for their agenda.
It's a non-falsifiable contention where no matter what happens, you win. So, you know, they always just want to spend more. Now, Is $2 trillion not enough? Actually, we spent $2 trillion before that as well. Is $4 trillion not enough? What is the right number of spending? And when do we start worrying about inflation? And when do we start worrying about debt? You know, it's just an open-ended question with them, it seems.
Yeah. And so to go on to the next point of your column, you say nationalizing elections isn't President Biden's job, but controlling the border is. Put it into context for us, David. How royally is he screwing up the border situation right now?
Well, I don't know if you guys saw that, the apprehensions were up to, like, I don't know what it was, 180,000 at the border in April, which is about 100,000 or 150,000 more than it was last April. So clearly there's something going on there. I think he had a lot to do with this. The president can't control what people do outside of the border. But if he sends messages that incentivize people to come to the border, then that is a problem of his creation. And that's exactly what he did. Oh, by overturning a bunch of Trump era policies that if he didn't like, he should have had a plan for or should have incrementally done. But he didn't. And really, the message that Democrats often send, and I'm not some, you know, I'm pretty liberal when it comes to immigration in general. But if your message is that our laws don't matter, that the border doesn't matter, that Republicans are, you know, racist for wanting to uphold laws that we have on the books for the border, then what's going to happen when you become president is you're going to have people streaming to come in. And that's what you have. And it's anarchy down there. And I don't think that's good for immigrants. I don't think it's good for the United States. I don't even think it's good for illegal immigrants, because many of them take on extremely dangerous journeys and you know, kids and that sort of thing, which I think is just inhumane.
Yeah, and there's another part of this that I really appreciate that you pointed out, which is he always seems to be, whether it was the mask mandates or, you know, he keeps telling everyone that the government is here to help you, and he's getting very involved in things that we would be okay if he just stepped aside. If he took a nap for the first 100 days, we'd probably be better off than we are right now. But then there's other situations where it's kind of stunning that he doesn't say anything. And there's two that come to mind, and I want to get your take on them. One is what's happening in the Middle East right now, which you write about. And the second is the Colonial Pipeline. We've heard virtually nothing from the leader of the free world about these two issues that really do fall under the realm of a president's problem.
Well, yeah. On foreign policy, you know, maybe yesterday, I think he finally came out and said something about what's going on in Israel. Now, yeah, that's an American ally, supposedly, and he is a big part of what's going on there as well. I mean, he opened up funding immediately for the Palestinian Authority. He is opening up funding for the Iranian mullahs, who are, you know, Hamas is basically a proxy army of Iran. They are probably the ones who are sending them the stuff to put together these missiles, and they obviously have thousands of them. It's an incredibly dangerous situation. And I'm not saying that he is, you know, the reason Hamas is launching missiles, but clearly this would not have happened and did not happen under Donald Trump for a reason. So then to simply, you know, foreign policy is his thing, right? The president is tasked with foreign policy. He's not tasked with figuring out where the all-star game is going to be. He's not tasked with telling us what to wear or not wear as masks go or anything else. Foreign policy is his thing. And he is not, he simply didn't say anything. Even what he said didn't amount to much. As for the pipeline, I saw he just had a press conference and finally spoke about it. But I mean, you know, you have this criminal enterprise in Russia doing serious damage. For 4 years, Democrats blamed everything on the Russians, tied everything to Republicans. And now when there's actually something going on, he acts as if it's no big deal. I mean, this there are gas lines all over the East Coast, and it's a huge deal, I think, for people.
Yeah, and you summarize it really well at the end. You say, funny, our president has a habit of enthusiastically taking credit for the accomplishments of others, as he does with vaccine production and distribution, while denying responsibility for or botching the things over which he does have control of. That is absolutely accurate right now. I mean, he's given no credit to the Trump administration for Operation Warp Speed, which is, you know, I'm over that. Like, that's not a hill I want to die on, whatever. He's not going to give credit to them. But he does take credit every single time something goes wrong. He's like, every single time something works out, he says, this is my administration. This is because we're doing such a great job. See? And as you point out in this piece, there's a lot that are not going well. And do you find it interesting that he said about the Colonial Pipeline, well, it's a private sector decision. That was their big take, was it's private sector. And I'm thinking the same thing you are. I'm like, this seems like if this had happened during the Donald Trump administration, we'd be making a big deal about Russian hackers, you know, stalling a pipeline.
Yeah, I mean, I am a big proponent of private enterprise and their decisions, which he is not, right? He wants to get involved in what kind of energy we have, what kinds of things we, choices we make in healthcare, et cetera. He does not care about those private sector decisions. But all of a sudden, when you're talking about hack international hacking and ransom, which are both crimes, right? Federal concerns. All of a sudden, he says that it's just private, that the private company should take care of it. It's just incredible to me. And, as much as I know that I don't like Joe Biden, I just assumed that he would be more competent than this in general. He's been in government for 50 years or whatever, but he's not. And that, I think, is should be troubling.
David Harsanyi from the National Review, thank you so much for joining us. I totally agree with you. And I think what I always tell people is, I knew he was going to be bad, but I thought he'd be a little bit more subtle about it. I thought it would be like a slower rollout of disaster. It's happening very quickly. We're 5 months in, and they just... The stories keep coming out faster and faster. David, thank you very much for joining the Grace Curley Show.
Thank you for having me.
Spring is in the air. Imagine the smell of a freshly mowed lawn, buds on trees, and the thoughts that summer is on its way. It's definitely on its way. I mean, it's getting warmer out slowly but surely, and I cannot wait to enjoy summertime. Now, it's been a long, dreary winter, kind of depressing, I can't lie to you, but I have a solution. And that is a stay at the Follinsby Inn on the shores of Keysar Lake in North Sutton, New Hampshire. It's my favorite lakeside getaway. Picture yourself waking up in the morning and looking out to the diamond reflections of Keysar Lake, where you're boating, swimming, or just relaxing with a book, or just walking around. The area is a beautiful place to just take a nice long walk. The Follinsby Inn is great for family gatherings, a personal retreat, or a romantic getaway. Reserve one of their 17 unique historic guest rooms, each with a private bath. Honestly, I cannot say enough about their complimentary mouthwatering breakfast. I tell you guys about this all the time. I wish Dennis would just open a restaurant so if people couldn't stay the night, they could at least try the breakfast because it really is amazing. Make sure you check it out. Your oasis awaits at the Follinsby Inn. Go to FollinsbyInn.com and book now because you deserve it, because you're worth it. That's FollinsbyInn.com, spelled Follinsby, FollansBee. Don't go anywhere. This is The Grace Curley Show.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. She's the friend you never knew you needed.
What? Did we just become best friends?
Yep.
Okay, make that best friend. It's Grace Curley.
You know who we could have added to the backpedal list? John Kerry, the climate czar. We got to get into this pipeline drama. It's far from over. Today's poll question is brought to you by CapeLily.com. 100% natural soaps, perfect for sensitive skin, handcrafted in small batches with Cape Cod sea salt. I love this soap. I really like some of the more... The more masculine, I guess you would say, smells, the charcoal, the cedar. They smell really fresh and really clean. But if you're more of a fan of lavender or lemon, they have delicious smelling flavors. I don't know if that's what you'd describe soap as, flavors. Smells?
Smells, probably.
They're all just amazing. The ingredients on them, Jared, you could.
Very simple.
Very simple. I mean, you know all the ingredients. Buy local and save your skin with these moisturizing, chemical-free soaps. Love your soap. Love your skin. Go to CapeLily.com. That's Lily with two L's. CapeLily.com. What is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Who is backpedaling the fastest? Dr. Fauci, Gavin Newsom, or Randy Weingarten?
I'm going to say Dr. Fauci. I think the walls are closing in.
Dr. Fauci up to 39%. Gavin Newsom still in the lead at 54%, and 7% voted for Randy Weingarten.
Who do you guys think is backpedaling? I mean, maybe there's someone I'm missing. I think most Democrats right now are really trying to, their internal polling, I've said this before, but it just must be very, very bad for them to be switching up like this.
I am on a commercial.
And we've seen them backpedal on all sorts of things. And the only reason this one comes to mind is because we just had David Harsanyi on, and he mentioned the All-Star game. But they backpedaled on that, too. Remember Jim Crow, you know, the Georgia voting law? And then Stacey Abrams started saying, oh, no, no, don't boycott, don't boycott. Because people in Georgia were like, what the hell? What the hell? We just lost $100 million worth of revenue so you guys could seem woke?
Jim Eagle.
They're trying now to turn this around and make people not think that they're radical. And the truth is they are radical. This is what they want. That is the big difference, as Donald Trump pointed out yesterday in one of his many statements, between Jimmy Carter and Joe Biden, is that Jimmy Carter handled there was plenty of crises when he was president, but he handled these bad situations poorly. Joe Biden is creating these bad situations. He walked in and kind of had everything ready to go. If anything, I thought he'll come in, the economy will boom, the COVID will go away, and he'll get all the credit, and there'll be parades in the street, and it'll be wonderful. Go, Joe! Go, Joe! Joey, baby! Joey, baby! But it's like he's going out of his way to not have things go his way.
Joey, baby!
If that makes sense. Now, I do want to get to this pipeline. I will take your calls, 844-500-4242. John Kerry was asked yesterday about transporting oil in the face of not only the pipeline situation with Colonial Pipeline, but with the Keystone XL shutdown, which was one of the first things Joe Biden did. And he admitted that pipelines are better. Cut six.
Isn't it true that pipelines are more carbon delivery efficient than trains or trucks or other forms of delivery? If you could answer just that limited question.
Yeah, that is true. I think that is true. But it doesn't mean you necessarily want to be adding another line when there are other alternatives. But is it better than train and better than not? Yes, it is.
So it's better than the other alternatives, but it doesn't mean you should add more. Huh. Interesting.
Manufacturing.
And there's other stories that go along with this about climate change and the pipeline, because now, and I lost in my stack of stuff here, but they had a woman, I'm sure she's, you know, an expert in her field, talking yesterday about this pipeline, and she mentioned electric cars. She said, like, obviously, if you had an electric car, this wouldn't be happening. And I'm thinking to myself, this is all stuff they want to be happening. All right, here it is. Energy Secretary Jennifer Granholm on Colonial Pipeline. I'm going to read you guys this direct quote because I couldn't find it anywhere audio-wise. She gets asked a question about the ransomware attack. And the question, because, you know, our journalists are really activists pretending to be journalists. /trained SEALs, of course, said, but looking more holistically in a macro view, how does this speed up the efforts at DOE, Department of Energy, to move in a more renewable direction, since this is going to have an impact on people at the pump? So it's not just that the Biden administration is taking all of these massive disasters and saying, see, this is why you need more of us. It's that the journalists are lobbing it up like a huge meatball and saying, take a swing at it. And this is what she says. Yeah, I mean, we obviously are all in on making sure that we meet the president's goal of getting to 100% clean electricity by 2035 and net zero carbon emissions by 2050. And you know, if you drive an electric car, this would be not affecting you clearly. This would not be affecting you clearly. That is the take. If you don't drive a car at all, this also doesn't affect you, but it doesn't mean it's good. Still a problem. It's just what David Harsanyi said. Every mistake they make, they think that they're in the right. Now listen, in case you were wondering how quickly Joe Biden was going to prove Trump right on everything, take a listen to this little flashback. Cut one.
And gas prices, you like that $2 gas, right? How about $5, $6, and $7? Darling, let's sell the car. It's a little bit too large. Let's get a compact. Biden's plan is an economic death sentence.
I couldn't have said it better myself. I saw today Donald Trump Jr. said, no more $2 a gallon and no more mean tweets. Hope it was worth it, everybody. We'll be back on the other side. I'll take some of your calls. 844-500-4242. It's the Grace Curley Show.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
Here's what drives the driver in the states that are affected. Here's what you can do, the drivers. Don't panic, number one.
I'm panicked, Joe! Don't panic. I'm going to snap my fingers and fix this. My magic wand. He really, It's not even funny. It's just depressing. But I do want to play Biden's take on the Middle East before I forget, because this is a huge story. We're actually going to have an expert on at 2 o'clock to tell us a little bit about what's happening in Israel right now. And I'm excited because it's not a topic I'm super familiar with. And I'm excited to, you know, get more informed about it and let people know what's happening there. But this is, you know, I'm not the president of the United States, so I can learn as I go. Joe Biden is supposed to kind of, you know, he's been in government for what is it, 140 years? He's supposed to have a little bit of foreign policy expertise. This is what he's got for us, cut three.
About the violence in the Middle East, and can you talk about what conversations you have had with officials there?
My national security staff and defense staff has been in constant contact with their counterparts in the Middle East, not just with the Israelis, but also with everyone from the Egyptians to the Saudis to the Emiratis, etc. And I had a conversation with Bibi Netanyahu not too long ago. I'll be putting out a statement very shortly on that. My expectation and hope is that this will be closing down sooner than later. But Israel has a right to defend itself when you have thousands of rockets flying into your territory. But I had a conversation for a while with the Prime Minister of Israel, and I think that my hope is that we'll see this coming to conclusion sooner than later. Thank you.
Wow. Speaking from a place of strength.
Also, he said Emiratis in there. I believe he meant the Emirates, like the United Arab Emirates. He said Emiratis. Now, I could be wrong on that, but I'm pretty sure he just mispronounced Emirates.
Jared, that was the least amount of my concern with that cut. It was the sounds he was making during the pauses that freaked me out. Also, you know, if you turn on the news and you're not watching CNN or MSNBC, if you turn on some actual news coverage, you'll understand that this is a big deal what's happening. Rockets, I think there was 600. That was like yesterday. So there's probably been 1,000 by now, rockets launched from the Gaza Strip. And Joe Biden's take is, we're hoping this starts to close down sooner than later. Huh. Wow. Can we quote you on that, good man? Scott, you're next with Grace and the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Scott.
How you doing?
I'm good. What's going on?
I'm so happy to be on the show because I listen to you all the time, like I said, when I was so embarrassed and stuff there. And I understand when you're talking about the mask stuff, because here in Keene, New Hampshire, I have had the store owners threatening to call the cops on me because I wasn't wearing a mask. And I was like, oh, my God, this is crazy. My understanding is that we have to wear a shirt and shoes because it's a state law. But how can a private business tell you how you have to dress to enter their public store? That's just what I can't understand in my mind.
Yeah.
But all these...
Go ahead, Scott.
Aldi's does not require you to walk into their store with a mask. They don't even have them at the door because I forgot my mask and I didn't want the problem because I shop there all the time. But they had no mask. So I said to him, you guys have no mask. He says, you're all set, which tells me they are willing to let everybody in their store without a mask.
Well, I'm glad because New Hampshire got the mask mandate lifted a while ago and you know, people were still keeping it alive. And that's the problem, is that it stopped being a health thing. Now it's become a virtue signaling symbol. And now people do it because it's, I guess it's placebo. They think it's going to make them feel better. They think it's going to keep them safe. And when Dr. Fauci's telling Gayle King, hey, you got to take your mask off when you're outside, then I think it's safe to say that the worm has turned. Thank you for the call, Scott. Kevin, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Kevin.
Hey, Grace, nice talk with you. Long-time listener when you were with Howie there. So congratulations on your own show.
Thank you so much.
What I wanted to say, though, is you kept talking about going over to electric cars and everything.
Yeah.
And I'm an electrician. How are they planning on making that electricity? I mean, build some more nuclear power plants, level off some more forests and put up windmills, or put down solar farms, clear out areas of vegetation and put down solar farms?
Kevin, these are all questions that feel kind of credulous boomer Ruby of you to ask. They're valid questions. I understand where you're coming from, but the Green New Deal, it doesn't follow the rules of science or electricity. This is something that you can't put your finger on. I think the closest thing I could compare it to is magic. And when we eliminate the cows and the farts and everything in between, we're going to live in a utopia. And I'm excited about that.
Manufacturing.
And yeah, human infrastructure, global warming, cooling, climate change. This is all important things. And Joe Biden has got it covered. I don't know how many times I have to tell you guys this. This man is in charge. He knows what he's doing. If he wants to eliminate carbon emissions by 2049 or whatever the year is, I think he's going to do it. China might stand in the way of that, but hey, they're eating our lunch. What are you going to do? Kevin, I'm being facetious, but I do appreciate the point you're making. I mean, I think there was a video of that where this woman was bragging about the electric charging stations and somebody came up to her with a camera and said, who fuels this? And then she wouldn't say, she just named the company. And then they asked the leader of the company what kind of fuel he ran off of. And he said, coal. So there doesn't seem to be a lot of logic in this.
No, the electricity comes out of the wall, Grace. Jeez.
I know. This is it's the details, the devil's
it's
in the details.
It's plugged in somewhere.
David, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, David.
Well, it's really depressing being on hold and having to listen to all those Biden cuts. It's so embarrassing and terrible, and that he's not president. He's like this cipher that people, we really don't know who we elected, frankly. Maybe we do.
Come on, man.
But it's him. The press said the moment that one of his cabinet members said that you wouldn't have any problems if you had electric cars, it's really like the new Tesla moment.
I'm sorry, David, you cut off there, but I did talk to you during the break. I actually screened that call, and so I want to make his point. He said that it was like let them eat Tesla's moment when the electricity, I'm just going to call her the electricity lady, when she said that, if you had an electric car, this wouldn't be happening. There is this level of disdain they have for the average person, and, the average person who drives a regular car can't all afford Teslas. It'd be nice. Actually, maybe under these new plans, we can. Maybe they're just going to give out Teslas. That could be something. I don't know how Elon Musk is going to feel about it. I do want to play a couple more of these cuts here before we move on. But first, I have to give you the change up of the day. I like looking back on Joe Biden's old tweets because he really, not that he's writing them. I mean, we know for sure that he's not typing anything into a phone, but
maybe he's doing speak to text.
then it would be a real disaster. This is what he said when Donald Trump was building a wall. A border wall is the physical embodiment of real Donald Trump's inability to develop effective immigration policy. His use of Department of Defense funds for the wall is a phony answer to the real challenges we face. And he knows it. Breaking today, Fox News has confirmed via the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers that construction on a 13.4-mile stretch of border wall in the Rio Grande Valley will resume after pressure from local politicians and residents. The Biden administration previously halted all wall construction in January. You know what I'd really like to get, Jared? I'd like to get a little sound effect for something like "Are You Happy Now?" There's got to be a song that encompasses that. Can you look me in the eye and tell me that you're happy now? You can't. There's just no way. I refuse to believe that. If there's a Biden voter out there who's sitting in their car listening to me with your mask on, obviously. I know you're driving, but I know you have your mask on. And you're thinking to yourself, I don't, because I Google this all the time. Not Google. I go on Twitter and I type in, I regret voting for Joe Biden. Because, hey, I need a laugh too. So I go there every morning, type it in, see what comes up. And there are some people who say, I'll never regret voting for Joe Biden. He's always better than Orange Man. And I'm like, but there has to be a limit, you know? There has to be something that makes you go, wow, this is bad. Even for like Chuck Schumer or Nancy Pelosi, there has to be some point where they go, oh my God, what did we do? Cut four, please, Jared.
It matters if you're a two-family person that making $80,000, $90,000, two wage earners. It matters.
Words matter. It matters. Everything matters with Joe. This is just, it's not good. And in case you're wondering what CNN was talking about, CNN's 10 p.m. hour had spent the first 25 minutes of their show focused solely on some new video from January 6th.
This is an apple.
Insanity. They will never, ever, ever learn. It's true what they say at Perfect Smiles. Change your smile, change your life. There's no better example of this than Howard Lawrence Carr. You guys are going to see him at 3 o'clock. He's always smiling because he has beautiful teeth. When you have a beautiful smile, you aren't afraid to show it off. And you're going to get a lot of compliments. You walk around with Howie Carr, somebody always says, you have beautiful teeth, Howie. And it's true. And it's because he went to Perfect Smiles. He saw Dr. Bruce Houghton in Nashua. And he's just really happy he did. So what you want to do is go to perfectsmiles.com and check out their video testimonials, because that's where you're really going to see some incredible transformations. And you're going to hear firsthand from people how much they love the experience, how much they love Perfect Smiles, and how much their lives have changed since they got this procedure done. Parking is free. The staff is awesome. If you've been wanting to upgrade your look for years, don't wait any longer. Life is too short to walk around hiding your smile. You want to smile from ear to ear. So contact them today. Look at their video testimonials. Look at Howie Carr's video testimonial. And then go to perfectsmiles.com. That's perfectsmiles.com. Change your smile. Change your life. I'll take a couple more calls on the other side, 844-500-4242, before we go to our next guest in the 2 o'clock hour. And also, I have an update on inflation, and it's not good. We'll be right back.
The Grace Curley Show will be right back. This is The Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back, everyone, to The Grace Curley Show. I hope everyone's having a great day. Someone who's not having a great day would be Rebecca Jones. I don't know if people remember this story, but I think it's worth following up on. This is what you'd call an update or a correction. Rebecca Jones was basically a fake whistleblower from Florida. She peddled lies about Florida's COVID deaths. She started saying that now her job was dashboard manager at the Florida Department of Health. And she single-handedly, I'm reading from the New York Post, managed to convince millions of Americans that Governor Ron DeSantis had been fudging the state's COVID-19 data. Now, Rebecca Jones would have had a case to be made if she was working in New York, because it seems like she desperately wanted DeSantis to be Cuomo, and he's just not. And this is, there's a lot of great pieces about this coming out, but the media just fell for it hook, line, and sinker because it was too good to be true. You know, Ron DeSantis, governor of Florida, he's letting everyone, you know, live freely in the United States of America. How dare he? It makes sense that he's fudging the numbers. He's a monster. Oh, but wait. It turns out this woman is just a complete Looney Tune, allegedly. And she was just lying about the whole thing. She was lying about the whole thing. And you know what's funny? Is that the people who were pushing this, like the blue checks and these journalists and stuff, they love this story. Because anything to bring down, like I said, Ron DeSantis. They're the conspiracy theorists here. Like, think of the things that we're told are conspiracy theories. You know, the big lie. You can't question the integrity of the election without being called a conspiracy theorist, QAnon insurrectionist. You cannot question the NIH, Dr. Fauci, and the Wuhan lab. Debunked. You can't question Hunter Biden or any of his shady dealings in the Ukraine. Again, hiss, boo, you are a conspiracy theorist. Get out. You are exiled. But they run, the left runs with this stuff, and there's no repercussions. There's no repercussions whatsoever. Jim Jordan was saying something similar today. He said, how come all these Democrats, they could contest all the elections they wanted? Hillary Clinton still does to this day. Now she's contesting elections she wasn't even a part of. She's accusing Russian hackers of interfering in Brexit. And no one has an issue with that. But if Donald Trump goes, you know, it would seem like a lot of those ballots came in at 4 a.m. and it was kind of suspicious. Oh my gosh. He is undermining.
He who must not be named.
I'm sorry, the former guy. He is undermining our entire democracy. This is anti-American. This is not who we are. I'm not buying it. I'm going to say whatever I want. You can call me a conspiracy theorist. I don't really care. Because these people pushed every conspiracy known to man, the Russian hoax. That was the biggest deal ever. In fact, people who pushed the Russian hoax, this is how punished they were for pushing bogus conspiracy theories. They're now working at the DOJ and National Security, Susan Hennessy. That's how much the repercussions really affect the Democrats. You can push any conspiracy theory you want as long as you're a liberal. You're good to go. Joe, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Joe.
Hey, good afternoon, Grace. Thanks for taking my call.
Of course.
Hamas will stop sending rockets when they run out of them, and then the Biden administration will take credit for the cease and desist.
Yeah, no, I agree. And that was really the crux of David Harsanyi's piece, which is, you know, they'll take credit for things. And Obama did this, too. It was the slowest recovery, I think, in American history. And Obama was like, you know, we did this. This was all us. And then he hates Trump. Everything Trump did was bad. But then when the economy actually started roaring back under Donald Trump because he cut taxes, cut regulations, who was there again? Barack Obama taking credit. They love to take credit for things. There's a pipeline hacking. This is why we need the Green New Deal. You know, the jobs report is lower than whale excrement. This is why we need more of our beautiful spending bills. And then Joe's right. There's conflict in the Middle East. Hamas is sending rockets from the Gaza Strip. And what are we going to hear from the left when it stops? Well, we're not going to hear, oh, they ran out of rockets. We're going to hear, because of Joe Biden's brilliant, brilliant mind and grandfathery whisper and Amtrak stories, that's how he solved this crisis in the Middle East. He didn't snap his fingers and fix it. He told them about the good old days on the Amtrak. Joey baby. Okay? He shared a scoop of chocolate chip, Jenny's chocolate chip ice cream. And he talked a little bit about his dogs. And just like that, the world was a more peaceful place.
Am I a hero? I really can't say. But
I
yes.
can say, yes. Yes, you are, Joe. We will be back. We're going to talk about Israel-Palestine, and we'll take a few more of your calls before producer's picks. Don't go anywhere. It's the Grace Curley Show.